Hello, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Manoj Chhetri. I'm a master's student in the horticulture department at Oklahoma State University. Today, I'm going to talk about effect of drought stress on seeded versus non-seeded Bermuda grass. Let's introduce the seed. We know that the microenvironment in seed is, of course, not the same as open or full sun. The major changes is from the solar radiance. We see the drastic reduction of quantity of light and also the changes in the quality of light, different wavelengths of light. Another significant changes we see is the vapor pressure deficit due to the decrease in wind speed and increase of relative humidity. So the plant responds differently under shade. Studies suggest the decrease in photosynthetic rate, transpiration rate, respiration rate, but increase in the leaf elongation. Another important abiotic stress in turf grass is the drought stress. So we know the water is a universal demand. So if you talk about the water use rate, there's a report from Oklahoma University. The water use rate in a Bermuda grass is reported up to 5.5 millimeters per day. And also, if you look at the across the states, there's a 50 million acres of irrigated turf grass. So if we look at the interaction or the relationship between the seed and drought stress, then there are the principles that postulate the three relationships positive. That means the seed will moderate the severity of drought stress. A negative relations where drought can worsen already affected turf grass under shade, or maybe the relationship can be the independent. So that principle is actually brings the problem of my research. We know that in turf grass, mainly the researches are focused on a single stress, either a seed alone or drought alone stress. But in the real world, we see there is a coexistence of both seed and drought stress, either in a golf course or home loans. So it's interesting. It will be interesting to see the relationship between seed and drought stress. That brings my research questions, and my research is a focus to measure the objectives of finding the effects of drought stress on seeded versus non-seeded Bermuda grass. And another one is to compare the performance of common and hybrid Bermuda grass in combined seed and drought treatments. To carry out my research, we established grasses from wasp sod in June 2016 in sectional PVC tubes in greenhouse filled with PVC tubes are filled with silica core sand and soil in equal volume. Two cultivars planted were Celebration, common Bermuda grass of Australian origin, and Latitude 36, a hybrid Bermuda grass, a product from OHU turf grass. Our treatment period was 8 weeks from March 19 to May 20. Grasses were clipped at a height of 51 millimeters. Well watered to about drought stress and fertilizer were applied at 24 kilogram nitrogen per hectare with triple 20 source. The first factor of treatment was the light treatment. We have two levels of light treatment. High light treatment was imposed by supplemental lighting, and low light treatment was imposed by using a black seed fabric without supplemental lighting. And the fabric was constructed in a PVC frames. Another treatment was the water treatment. Two levels of treatment again, 100% average ET replacement and 50% average ET replacement. ET rates were calculated by water balance method. It was the difference of two water treatments and averaged across the whole reps for each treatment combination. Drought treatment was started after 2 weeks of seed treatment and water applied by measuring cup on third and sixth day of each week, so two times in a week. The research design was a 2x2 completely randomized design. Drought and cultivars were randomized within each light treatment. ANOVA was conducted using GLM model, and means were separated at Fisher protected LSD with 5% level of significance. So we assessed several parameters for the sake of time. I'm going to discuss a few of them. The first one is the turf quality ratings. Was rated on a scale of 1 to 9. 6 is the minimal acceptable level, recorded on the first day of each week. Another one is the NDVI, recorded using spectral reflectance sensor on the second day of each week. Another parameter was the leaf-related electrolyte leakage was determined using conductivity meter at 0, 4, 6, and 8 weeks after treatment. And then the last one was the canopy gas exchange rate. It was measured using the Lycor 6400 system using a custom-built plexiglass chamber. Two measurements were taken from each treatment for the sunlit and safe chamber. Safe chamber was obtained by using a black cloth covering the chamber. Gross photosynthesis rate was calculated combining the exchange rates from shade and sunlit chambers. Those were the absolute values. So we recorded the microenvironment within each treatment using a light quantum sensors and Wasserdruck loggers. We recorded the PAR every 30 minutes, and so in highlight there was a 26.9 DLI versus in low light 9.7, which is 36% of highlight. Mean air temperature was higher in highlights, but mean relative humidity was higher in low light. Coming to the results, if we look at the ANOVA table, we see there is a significant effect of water across each treatment, across each parameter. And also, over the 8 weeks of treatment, there is a significant effect of date. However, if you look at the cultivars, only the NDVA and electrolyte leakage has significant effect of cultivar and the interaction with water. And rest show the non-significant effect. So the results from the trophology tells us that in a highlight, in a 50% ET actually, the trophology is majorly rightly skewed over the 8 weeks of treatment. And it's down up to one scale, but in a low light, it's higher than the highlight, but it's still below the six. So none of the grasses were minimum acceptable in the 50% ET. We see that for the NDVI, we see the significant differences in the low light after 2 weeks of treatment, and all the way up to 8 weeks of treatment in highlight. So it's the NDVI versus weeks after treatment. Whereas in low light, there's the effect of water treatments, but we don't see the effect of cultivars between the water treatments. So salivation was not different from latitude in 100% ET, but latitude 36 was poorer than salivation in 50% ET. And also, if you look at the highlight, we see the difference between the treatments at 2 weeks versus whereas in turf quality, the differences were observed in 3 weeks. So NDVI was able to pick the differences 1 week earlier than the turf quality. If you look at the electrolyte leakage results, we see the similar results, I would say. No differences in highlight at 0 weeks, and then it picks the differences after 4 weeks. Significant difference in 4, 6, and 8. There's actually 5% increase in electrolyte leakage over the 8 weeks in highlight, 100% ET, but in 50% ET, there is a significant, a drastic change, 61% increase in yield, which is significantly different than the 100% ET. Whereas if you look in the low light treatments, there is no differences between the salivation latitude in 100%, but there is differences in latitude and salivation between the 100% ET. So the maximum increase was in 50% latitude, 36% increase in electrolyte leakage, whereas the least one was the salivation and latitude in 100% ET. So also we have a gross photosynthetic rate data. In the highlight, there was no differences at 2 weeks. And then after the 4 weeks, we can see the large differences between 100% ET and 50% ET. Also, there is a very sharp decline or steep decline from week two to week four. And then it constantly decreases until it goes below zero in highlight. But in low light, it starts around 80 average, and there's no difference in 0 weeks, but for 4, 5, and 6 weeks, there is a difference between 100% and 50%, and then at the end, at 7 and 8 week, there is no significant difference between 100% and 50% ET. But they are well above the positive values of gross photosynthesis. So these are all measured in micromole of CO2 per meter square per second. To conclude my research, we see the lower air temperature or mean temperature and higher relative humidity in low light treatment, along with the reduced PAR. So that suggests that our SAIDE fabric has done a pretty good job of modifying the microenvironment in SAIDE. Also, the grasses in highlight suffer from drought stress earlier, actually 1 week earlier than those in highlight in terms of turf quality and NDVI. No differences were observed among cultivars in highlight, but in low light, few of the parameters, NDVI and electrolyte leakage, suggested a significant cultivar effect and significant cultivar and water interactions. With this presentation, I'd like to acknowledge USDA STRI, USDA Oklahoma Agricultural Experimental Station for funding my research, Advisor Committee, Dr. Charles Funinier, Dr. NCU, Dr. Justin Moss for helping me and supporting me in my research. With that, I'd like to thank everyone for your time, and I'll be happy to take questions. Yes.
So do you think any mechanisms that are responsible for shade tolerance would also help for drought tolerance? And if so, what do you think those mechanisms at play might be?
And the question was, what was the mechanism that helped shade tolerance and drought tolerance? I'd say that the drought avoidance is more to do with the increased of above ground tissue, whereas the shade avoidance was more to do with above ground tissue, and drought avoidance was more to do with the below ground tissue. I mean, the carbon reserves are more focused towards the above ground in shade avoidance versus in drought avoidance, the carbon reserves are more concentrated towards the below ground tissue. So the plan was trying to find the balance between these two, and since we have just 2 weeks of shade treatment, so the shade was not the dominating one. So drought was the dominating factor between two. So the grasses dried up quickly in highlight versus low light.
I just have a question regarding
sure.
that. I may have missed this in your methods, mm-hmm. but did you, once the drought treatments were initiated, was there still mowing, or were there differences in kind of the growth rates, between the different treatments? It might not have been a measurement, but visually, could you see?
Yeah, certainly the grasses under shade were have increased the leaf growth. But we had the same mowing frequency for both treatments throughout the treatment period. But at one point, we didn't have to mow the grasses. After 7 weeks, the leaf was completely bleached, so we didn't have to mow the completely dried brown turf. For sure, but we continue to mow for the shaded grass.
Do you call it the clippings until the clipping
width? The question was, did you collect the clipping width and see the clipping biomass? Yes, we did. We did collect the clipping width. The dry weight of celebration was higher than the dry weight of latitude 36, and of course in a low light there was more clippings biomass than in the high lights.
Any other questions? Okay, well thank you very much.
Thank you.